Okay, good evening, everyone. I will call to order the, what is today, March 2nd, 2020, Historic Preservation Regular Session meeting. Can I have roll call, please?
Yes, Chair Dan Huff.
Present.
Vice Chair Dan Beal.
Present.
Commissioner Timothy Boleen.
Bowen, he's coming in the door.
Present.
Commissioner Bowen, present.
Present. Commissioner Steve Hannestad.
Present.
Commissioner Eric Tomei.
Here.
Commissioner Gail Munden.
Present.
And Commissioner Michael Wilson.
You have to reach all the way across to the green button. I'm sorry. The green button is far.
Why don't you push it? Just push on the
security.
And live it up.
Okay, thank you. So we will move on to, we do not have Councilmember Solomon here. Is anyone in his stead in terms of liaison comments?
No, he is going to be back in about half an hour, so we can
table
that.
Circle back around. Okay. I don't think we have any blue cards.
There's one. Yes, sorry. Card.
It's okay. Okay, so we have Peg O'Connell. You can come forward now and address if you wish to do so.
Thank you. I'm a representative of the Oro Valley Historical Society. I'm chairperson of a fundraising event that's coming up in about 10 days. We're reaching the end of the time period where you can purchase tickets to attend this wonderful foggy evening, which will be an appraisal event. We have a woman who was
you're doing fine.
Just talk loud.
Our featured appraiser is a woman by the name of Catherine Barron. Catherine has her master's in art history, has been an appraiser, art historian around the country, and has recently resigned a position as an appraiser on the Antiques Roadshow. So she has credibility. She has an appraisal business in Tucson, Catherine's Antiques and Appraisals. We have asked her, we're contracted with her, to do the appraisal on one item that each guest will bring to the event at Oro Valley Country Club. I'm going around in circles on it. The event is on March 12th, Oro Valley Country Club. The price is $75 per person. Don't let that make you think you can't come. It includes a dinner, sit-down dinner. It includes the appraisal of one item. We ask that it be something that you can carry in for space purposes. And she will appraise each item and
give us a lecture, a talk about what she does, how she appraises, and what's trending in antiques and so forth. You can bring jewelry. You can bring sports memorabilia. You can bring art. You can bring Indian artifacts. Whatever you think you're wondering is a trash or treasure, bring one item. So I am challenging this group of people sitting here to support the Oro Valley Historical Society by attending this event. Ticket sales can be, you can do a couple ways. You can go online to eventbrite.com, enter priceless in the search bar, and when you get, enter Oro Valley Historical Society in the, and then priceless is the name of the event. And the picture, the flyer that I just gave you will pull up. Or, if you're prepared tonight, you can write a check to the Oro Valley Historical Society. Give it to me. I will get you on the list so that when you arrive on the 12th, you will be on the attendance list. But please support us. We need it. We've progressed quite a bit, as you know, in the grant. costs money, and we're all volunteers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay, we will move on to informational items. Item number one is the current information for Historic Preservation Commissioners. Ms. Dellerman.
Hi. I did send along with the agenda just a list of some of our local items. I thought I would also mention a couple things that were not included. The Archaeology Southwest just sent their list of things out. And tomorrow at the Loft, they have their Archaeology Cafe. I have that address for you if you're interested. They say gather at 5:30 and it begins at 6, but it is a gal named Krista Sadler, and she'll discuss the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in Utah. And here's a quote from her. She says, Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument is one of the most special places on Earth. So she is going to talk about what the fossils of Utah's Grand Staircase can tell us about our future. So if that's something that interests you, I'd be happy to get you the address. Another thing that wasn't mentioned there that is of interest and of note is the Oro Valley Historical Society's lecture series on the 9th. They have a gentleman named Peter Spooner, and he is of Arizona's Coins and Collectibles, and will share information about Arizona's trade tokens. Tokens were frequently used as a substitute for money in Arizona mining towns, and that could be a fun topic. And so that's Monday, the March 9th at 2 o'clock in the Oro Valley Public Library. And then I also do have on here the information about Priceless. Tickets were supposed to be purchased by the 6th, but they can purchase by the 1st, but now they can do it until the 6th. Is that correct?
Friday.
That's Friday. So, and that gives them money to run on. I sit in on their meetings, and the cost is just to function is quite high for them. So so if you can do that support, that would be awesome. And so if you have any questions on any of the other stuff, this Friday there is a concert at the ranch. And then the biggest thing that I like to always bring up and keep on your radars is the fact that the 11th is our Celebrate Oro Valley. But I'll talk about that later in the report. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Informational item number two would be report from the Oro Valley Historical Society president, Mr. Loomis.
Good evening. I'm Paul Loomis. I'm substituting for the president. I am not the president. I'm just the treasurer. But Roxy apologizes. She's under the weather right now. So she asked me to give the report. What I will do is expand a little bit on the speaker on Monday that Lynn Ann talked a little bit about. Is Peter Spooner is the president of the Arizona Coins and Collectibles store down on off of Orange Grove, and he's a very very good collector, and I've worked with him a little bit. One thing about the tokens and stuff is we've actually found bus tokens and other tokens on Steamboat Ranch, and I think Lynn Ann has them in her collection. I know they went through the town. So those are, it is pertinent to Oro Valley. And again, he's speaking at 2 o'clock on Monday at the library. registration that's going to be kicking off at Steampunk Ranch on the 21st of March. So those are things that we're doing in partnership with the town. Another thing that we're doing that any of you all are welcome to attend is we will be doing a special training session for our docents on Sunday the 15th at 1 o'clock. And this is going to be that we're going to set it up where it'll be Barbara McIntyre, who is the great-granddaughter of George Bush, is going to be there and provide some of the training, but also one of the docents from the Arizona Historical Society, and she also docents at Tohono O'Shaw, is going to be helping us out. That's one of our volunteers. So that's hopefully going to get organized plan that all our docents will be telling the same story, hopefully, except for the ones I've done. we are continuing to change the exhibits in the museum on a monthly basis. The February exhibit went very well. That was letters home from during World War II from Hank Zip. And then this upcoming exhibit is going to be Buster Bailey and Billy Chester. And they were two of the cowboy mountain men that basically were in this area in the early 1930s, 40s time frame. And there's lots of stories that you have. Some of the stories about the stills up in the various areas and the moonshining and things like that that happened up in the Catalinas that Buster Bailey was kind of famous for. And I think that's mostly all that I have. Do you all have any questions for me?
Any questions?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Okay, we will move on to informational item number 3, which is a report from Commissioner Munden, who is the liaison to the Historical Society. Commissioner Munden?
I think Paul covered everything.
Okay. So we will move into regular session agenda item number 1, which is the selection and vote on the next HPC chairperson, which will be effective the very next agenda item. So I think we go in the same slate order. We have a full deck today. We didn't have that at the last meeting. So we had Commissioner Munden was the first proposed chair. And so I would call for another roll call or vote regarding Commissioner Munden. Do we want to go in order of commission member, or do we want to just do a canvas of everybody?
I would go member by member.
Okay. And so I think one of our council members wasn't here, or commissioner members last time. So Commissioner Tomei was also the other candidate. So if we go through and I'll identify, or I guess we can do a roll of each commission member and just identify who your vote would be. We'll get a clear record of that, and then we can move on with approving the future chair. So if I can have a roll, please.
Yes, Chair Danhoff.
Commissioner Tomei.
Okay. Vice Chair Danville.
Commissioner Tomei.
Commissioner Timothy Bowen.
Commissioner Munden.
Commissioner Steve Hannestad.
Commissioner Munden.
Commissioner Eric Tomei.
So awkward, I vote for myself.
Commissioner Gail Munden.
Myself also.
Commissioner Michael Wilson.
Commissioner Munden.
Let's see. So you
Munden.
Yeah.
Okay, so the official result is Commissioner Munden is our next chair, so congratulations. I will hand over the reins to you, now Chair Munden, in terms of...
March 3rd.
Starts tomorrow.
Today's tomorrow. March 2nd. Okay, so I'll just keep rolling. So congratulations, next meeting. Okay, we'll move on to agenda item number 2, review and approval of the February 10th meeting minutes. I hope folks had a chance to review those. Do we have any suggestions, modifications, additions? Commissioner Munden.
Yes. Item number 3 from my report. Commissioner Munden stated that the Oro Valley Historical Society is trying to achieve Tier 1, and then it says Tier 2, and they should both say Tier 2.
Tier 2?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, what's it supposed to... What's it supposed to say?
Okay.
Tier 2?
Yes. Historical Society is trying to achieve Tier 2 status, okay, which requires... And it's supposed to say 104 hours.
Okay. I will make those changes.
And then on the progress report that Lynn Ann did on everything, at the bottom of the page, item number 3, it says, Commissioner Tomei asked if there is enough of the Carlos House barbecue intact, and I believe we were talking about the hatchery.
Oh, no, okay, so not the barbecue house,
no,
just the
hatchery. And then, because it's kind of in pieces, but then we said that it could be put back together, which is the next statement.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Okay.
You got both of those?
I did, thank you.
Okay, any other modifications, additions?
Well, I...
Commissioner Tomei?
I would ask if Ms. Dellerman agrees with the, that you stated it's not going to deteriorate past its current condition.
Number 3?
Yeah, it's on the...
It's on the top of the page.
Getting the next page. And I'm just trying to get clarification. You're not going to suggest something isn't going to deteriorate anymore.
I know the flavor of what I was trying to say is that we can stabilize it. We don't have to keep it as a ruin. How exactly I worded it, I'm not sure. We'll have to go back and listen.
Yeah, we can do that.
I think you're just taking out deteriorate. I mean,
yeah,
you're not talking about it deteriorating. You're saying in its current condition, it can still be rehabilitated.
It can still be rehabilitated, exactly. Yep.
And then 2 lines down from there, I'm not quite sure. It just says, and I reiterated, if yes, there is enough of the building. I'm not sure what I was reiterating there. I think what I was saying was, I think maybe, actually, you probably strike that whole line. I was just acknowledging that you had said there was enough building.
Okay.
And then last but not least for me, having to do with with regards to future agenda items, it said, I stated I would like to know more about, or stated to know about Steam Pump Ranch. I think what I was suggesting is I would like us to discuss Steam Pump Ranch, and then 2 sentences down, it says Commissioner Tomei stated he would like to know that the priorities are.
What?
Those 2 sentences, if you kind of combine those 2 sentences,
yeah.
I would like to have a discussion on Steam Pump Ranch and have the commission determine what its priorities are.
Okay.
Any others?
Can I go back?
Commissioner Munden?
On the department report, it's not really important, but we need to start telling this, is that the new entrance to Naranja is, it says solely through Tangerine, but that won't get you there. You need to put Via Musette, if we, and just start.
How many is that down? Get one.
It's the last item on number six, department report.
Any others?
So this, will someone give a motion to approve with changes?
I will move to amend the minutes with the changes just discussed.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm sorry, who did the second?
The second was Commissioner Beal. Any opposition? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Okay, number three is the review and approval of the 2019 annual report. Do we have the physical copy of that this time?
Yes.
Okay. So there were some questions about, and I think, Lynanne, correct me if I'm wrong, if others want to pass that around. When we looked at the hard copy, it Commissioner Munden's name was there. Was that correct?
Yeah, but Steve was the one who needed to have confirmation that it is written as it needs to be. He was unable to see it in his email.
Right.
If anyone else couldn't see it, please take a moment and look at it so we can confirm it.
So if the commission is satisfied with the status of the annual report, we just need a motion to approve it as presented here. Okay.
I make a motion that we approve the annual report from 2019.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Bowen, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Abstentions?
I'm abstaining.
Commissioner Tomei abstains. The motion passes. It's approved. Moving on to item number four, a review of a conservation easement on the Steam Pump Ranch property held by Pima County. Ms. Dellerman. Yes, you want me to read the grant portion?
Yes, the grant of the easement, and then I'll have you go ahead and read the stabilization and rehabilitation part of that section as well.
Okay, so for good and valuable consideration, the receipt and sufficiency of which is hereby acknowledged, the town does hereby irrevocably grant, convey, transfer, and assign unto county a preservation and conservation easement as defined under the act in gross perpetuity over and upon the site, including specifically the buildings, historic landscape setting, and interior features as defined below, as more specifically set forth herein. As part of the easement, town is also undertaking certain affirmative obligations as set forth herein. So go through, okay. Town shall carry out planning, stabilization, and rehabilitation of the buildings, rehabilitation project, and shall initiate the rehabilitation project within 1 month after recordation of this easement, and shall diligently pursue the rehabilitation project to completion as and when funds become available. Plans and specifications for rehabilitation project shall be submitted in County and State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO, for review and approval as set forth in paragraphs 3.3 and 6 below. I feel like this is an eye exam. The rehabilitation shall be done in accordance with the approved rehabilitation plans and in a manner that preserves and enhances the preservation values, complies with all applicable laws and codes, and in a good and workmanlike manner. Town will ensure the potential impacts to any archaeological sites are considered and mitigated as appropriate in consultation with county staff and SHPO prior to any ground disturbing activities. A second set of photographs documenting the completed rehabilitation of the facades and interior features will be taken and filed as in paragraph 3.1 above the post-rehabilitation photographs. The exterior condition and appearance of the facades and site as depicted in the rehabilitation photograph, collectively the rehabilitated facades, is deemed to describe their external nature after the rehabilitation project. The interior condition and appearance of the buildings as depicted in the rehabilitation photographs, collectively the rehabilitated interior features, is deemed to describe their interior after the rehabilitation project. Finally, town shall, during the rehabilitation project, maintain builder's risk insurance, and the contractor shall be required to provide payment and performance bonds.
So, obviously, there are sections in that that don't have anything to do with it, but I think, first of all, we know that the economy had begun to tank in 2008, so they did put in as funds are available, but obviously, we do owe the county and the easement to continue to work on the buildings. At least that's the way I look at it. But that opens it up for us to bring it back up later and for there to be discussion. But I wanted to bring it forward since that was requested. Thank you.
So is this open for discussion? It doesn't say discussion
it
on this
say
one,
discussion.
But, but now it says Proctor Lieberhaus. We're going to have the presentation that we had last week.
No. And now we won't have the same. And the next one is that. So what we did is this one is a discussion, and we'll bring up last times as a discussion item.
Okay.
So those are now discussion items. That's the next thing.
The agenda item number 5 is presentation and discussion on the Proctor Lieberhaus.
Okay, and as we were in the transfer of secretarial responsibilities and a new program for agendas called Agenda Quick, we are coming up to speed of how to agendize things correctly. So we didn't mean to have constant presentations, but this one is does include your ability to discuss. So, and I'll bring forth last time as well for discussion. So, this one is on the Proctor Lieberhaus, which I had said I would do in our last meeting. This is just before and after photos from the assessment. Here is the main page in your assessment, which you all received last month as part of the agenda, and it tells what portion of the house in the assessment was considered to be kept. This is to be removed when it's all done. So the majority of what I'm doing here this time is just the inside. The outside is extremely in-depth. And because I wanted to review last month's and allow for discussion, I didn't go quite that in-depth. The inside has not had a whole lot of work done on it. The we did do a stabilization of the outside with just paint and some fixes and repairs, and that's what you can see with the front porch. And again, that's what I'm calling it. It's the front porch. It used to be the rear porch of back in the day. But this is the underneath here. This is what it used to look like. It does look much better, but it really is just a coating. It needs to be fully repaired. This was taking panels and covering that old wood. It is not fully repaired at the bottom side of this porch. What they did fully replace was the fascia. And in this next slide, oh, which is right here, you can see how bad it was. And then also some of these top of the columns were in very bad shape. They were fully replaced if they were in that kind of shape. So while the roof of the porch does need to be repaired still, the fascia was done. Inside the house, this is from the assessment, and you can see it's not much different. The it does say damage from a roof leak at the light feature. The roof leak is no longer there, so it's not deteriorated further, but it's not repaired or replaced because the inside of the Proctor Lieber house has not been restored yet or preserved. And then rodent activity, and this you can't see, but there's screen that has been put here, and although there's a hanger right here, we don't have this kind of an issue any longer, and again, we don't have this here any longer. So we are continuing to pay for rodent mitigation and for the bugs and so on. You can't see the cracks as well in the stabilization report. We got right down on top of them. This corner right here is this corner right here. And what was explained to me by Linda Mayro from the county is that, actually, this portion wasn't explained. We assume that a root has deteriorated, and that's what's left the vacancy that's allowing this corner to collapse or sink. And she said we'll have to put in, and I said the words last time, a helical pier, which will jack up that corner of the cement as part of that restoration.
Just a question, Lynn-Ann. Seeing that we're looking at some detailed photos, would it be possible to put the presentation in slideshow mode such that the photos would be bigger?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes, sorry about that.
That's the corner of the living room?
Yeah, so this is at the corner of the living room. This is another area of the living room, and then this is the far bedroom. So I wanted, even though that we don't have slides of that in the 2014 assessment report, I did want to show that cracks in the floor are throughout the house. So, and then again, you can't see it real well in their photos, and we tried to make it obvious in ours, but there is a crack here. That same crack is still present. When we obtained the home, the top floor was caving in and eventually fell off, and the front wall was replaced. This appears to have been something that needed more attention at the time that happened, because that's the wall they worked on, and this is pretty early on. So I don't know why that crack exists, but obviously this building needs restoration. this I have pointed out to you before. This is what it looked like in 2014. It did fully rot out, and we had our Adobe expert come in and help us put Adobe in here. We also made sure that there was no water hitting the building or causing water to come in any other way. And then we made sure the roof wasn't, nothing from above was causing that. So although that doesn't look beautiful, it is now far more stable. Not any worse now than in 2014. That's in the bathroom at the far, at the side by the side of the home by the straw maze. If you've been to the property, by that master bedroom. Again, this is just showing that we don't have as much dirt from rodents because we are working to stay up with the rodents. We still catch them in there. They still come in once in a while, but we don't have near the problem. One of the things that they said in their report is that they felt it would be important for us to stabilize this roof until, this is the porch, which is a really wonderful part of the building, and we didn't want it to collapse or deteriorate in any way. So this is a temporary structure that did stabilize inside, and that was because of the 2014 assessment. So, I'll come back up here. We want to go ahead and open this up for discussion. I'll come back up and we can go back over. I'll go very quickly over the last week's slide if you would like, so that you can have discussion on that. If not, if you will remember, you're welcome to have discussion on that.
Okay, so thank you, Lynanne. So opening it up for discussion, does anybody have any questions or elements that they wish to discuss?
Well, what are the plans for it? Where is it on the priority list? I've had these conversations for quite a few years now, so that's my discussion. What are the plans and where? I mean, how does it fit in the priorities?
At the time, and
that may not be a question for you, Lynanne.
Right.
Question for the commission.
Okay.
Haven't we put that on the agenda?
I'm sorry, put what on the agenda?
The budget for the restoration of the ranch.
We don't have it agendized right now, but you have asked to know about the budget, but that doesn't necessarily answer his question on your priorities. So,
I mean, just to continue the discussion, there's a master plan that was laid out in 2008 that, and again, I don't want to go beyond what's within the scope of this, but I can tell you Proctor Lieberhaus is woefully behind the dates that were in that master plan. We've had lots of meetings, not just this commission, but commissions that I've been on prior, and we just keep moving further and further away. A comment I heard is on one of the pictures, and you see there it's no worse than it was before. Is that our standard? Is that the standard for Steam Pump Ranch? Because if it is, I'm not going to be on this commission. No worse than the way it was before. There was a comment about something that fell off because the town of Oro Valley at the time wasn't doing enough. And I understand there were financial reasons. There were plenty of reasons why that exists. But we as a commission, our job is to push for those things. And I mean, even when I was on, full honesty, full transparency, I didn't do enough back then. But that's because the commission back then, I was learning the lay of the land. But the commission back then didn't make it a priority. I am wholeheartedly in favor of spreading the history of Oro Valley through high school writing or fourth grade writing projects. I was 100% behind that. I was 100% behind, the telling of the stories that happened at Steam Pump Ranch. I'm 100% behind the registry. In fact, in my preparation for the fourth or third meeting in a row now on things that we aren't going to discuss, my preparation again today, I found some great stories, for example, about Rooney Ranch
and about the guy that I didn't know anything about. I mean, the guy, his son is one of the richest U.S. representatives out of Muskegee, Oklahoma. And this guy in the book, please help me with the, Linnea, the name of the author of the Oro Valley History book, part of the society.
Jim Williams?
No, I think it was before that. It's the smaller book.
Barbara Marriott.
Barbara Marriott, yeah. She's got pictures of this guy and his son, who is now a U.S. representative. You know, and that building's gone. And it's gone because we're a business-oriented community, and I get that. But was anybody standing around talking about what was there at the time to even know? Now we've got buildings that, again, 12 years have gone by, and again, according to the master plan, if you haven't all looked at it, I highly recommend you look at it. According to the master plan, we're still in the pre-opening phase in the stabilization side of this. Yet we've opened it. It's open to the public. In fact, I don't know that I have it handy, so I won't completely refer to it, but in the opening phase, 30 to 40,000 people would be allowed onto the site. That was the expected amount of people on the site. 1 to 2,000 people were supposed to be allowed on the site during the pre-opening phase. So if we're still in the pre-opening phase when it comes to the stabilization of the buildings, we've jumped way past that in what we're allowing to have happen out there. And again, I simply say for preservation, I'm all for it. I'm all for it because I think we've generated over the last 8 years, definitely with the grass and with the events that are happening out there and even some of the signage that are in those buildings, I think we've generated the public interest now. I don't think we can have meeting after meeting after meeting where we continue to have more presentations and no discussion and no priority set so the next time $100,000 is available for Steam Pump Ranch, everybody's on board. And you don't have what happened in January. So that's my position.
Thank you, Commissioner Tomei. Does anyone else have any comments regarding that? I think that's an excellent conversation point. If I could just jump in quickly, I think that there's we've talked about this before, that there's obviously a limited amount of funds that become available for that property. It's a massive property that requires not just restoration work, but preservation to keep it. You know, we've been at risk of losing buildings before. The chicken coops, we almost lost entirely, had funds not become available for that. So I think that there's a legitimate debate and conversation to be had on this commission as to whether the funds that are available become focused on turning buildings into a different purpose or to house different organizations, the Historical Society being one of those chief groups, or you're stabilizing and restoring and preserving other buildings before we're at a significant risk of losing those. I don't mean to speak for Commissioner Tomei. I think he's able to do that himself, but my sense is that that's a significant piece of what he's getting at. That's been a concern of mine when I voiced that before. And sometimes it's not a choice of one thing over the other. And we hope that in a community like this, it doesn't come down to those tough decisions. But money is finite. Money is finite for Steam Pump Ranch, and it has been. I think that's I'm not saying what the right or wrong answer is. I've voted, and I've been the lone vote on certain issues. But what I'm saying is that's a conversation we need to have, and more information being presented in front of this commission. I think that's the job of everybody sitting here. And I think hearing things, even if you don't agree with them, that's a good thing. And I think that makes these votes in the positions that this commission takes stronger. And when we take positions as a collective body and make those recommendations to the town council, that's where it's meaningful. That there's been a dialogue and a debate on these issues. I think we can all say, I hope that as commissioners, we all go out to Steam Pump Ranch and have seen the condition of some of those buildings. Different years, we have different amounts of funds that do become available. And there's a question of what the future looks like, whether we're upholding our responsibilities as the town. That's the crux of that easement. The town has a core responsibility in its preservation. My concern is, I don't know that that's the direction that we've been going in. I just put that out there.
Mr. Chair, I'm new to the commission, but is there a priority list? And if there is it based on need at the time of the building or funding? I guess, and I think our task is to provide that from our commission.
Well, I think Lynn-Ann will be able to speak to this as well, but there have been assessments at various times on the property. 2014, there was 2008. We've used those assessments before. Commissioner Tomei will recall that. In terms of prioritizing, that's how the chicken coops went straight to the front. That's not the sexiest of structures on that sure. property, but we were at risk of losing it altogether.
The need was there.
Right, that's exactly right. And so some of those are aged a bit. Yeah. Go ahead.
What I will let the commissioners know and chair know is that I recognize that that what I'm doing are presentations, but that's the purpose of those presentations. You've got our most recent assessment, and you're seeing the photographs from then and from now. And I can make recommendations based on my knowledge of historic preservation, attending conferences, both national and local, and the schooling that I've had. But that's to get in front of you guys' eyes what's happening there. The reason why I made statements like, there's no change is because there's no change inside the building other than cleaning it up and keeping the rodents down. So,
Chair Huff, if I may, I want to make very clear. I don't hold Ms. Dellerman responsible. Again, she does what she actually, if I understand the process correctly, she takes what we say to council. And so it's this collective body that needs to be putting more emphasis on, and the presentations are necessary. Trust me, for those that weren't here, 4 years ago, I was the one pounding my table saying, can you bring us something showing us what the status of this is? I think that's a part of my frustration is that we're having those presentations again and not having the productive conversations about what's the priority list for the next 5 years, 10 years.
Mr. Munden.
Yes. This last year, we've had a reprioritization of the $100,000, which as a commission, we stood up to that. And I believe it is important that we finish the push house because it gives a jewel in the setting of the ranch. And it gives us more fodder for asking for money, grants, and getting the furniture. I know that's a big step in the future. But I believe that this year we have been trying, and we are just a recommending board, and we do the best that we can. So we will continue pushing.
Thank you, Commissioner Munden. Yes.
Anytime that you have a property like the ranch, you have an amazing amount of work to do with an amazingly small amount of money. And as the money comes through an appropriation cycle for the town council's consideration, what we as a commission need to know is when are the critical time periods when our input can most significantly affect at least next year's budget. Obviously, once a budget year is started, you can only work with the money that you have already received. And if a windfall comes, then we might have a chance to say, how best can we spend the windfall? But we can't keep counting on or even hoping for windfalls. So we need to know where do we need to put our input in at a time that our advice is critical, because if we are out of a budget cycle or if a budget has just been passed last week, then we've missed the train. We need to know when we need to come up with a policy decision. And I would like to see it that we would have several months ahead of time to review what the issues are that the staff feels are important and the assessment reports have identified and so forth, with a realistic figure for what does it cost. And unfortunately, one of the things that really concerns me as we're trying to channel money in the right direction is the age of the reports. Because one thing I know from having managed historic buildings, action delayed is action that grossly increases in cost. So if I could fix a problem for $100 million today, if I waited a year, I was looking at $120 million. We need to be able to set things out, and we have to have at least a reasonable escalation, because if we tell the town council that this is a $500,000 job based on a 5-year or a 10-year-old report that had that $500,000 figure in it, we're misleading them. We need to tell them what the true cost is, because you can't go with underfunding these projects.
Thank you.
Chair Huff.
Oh, sorry. Commissioner Beal.
Well said. Regarding the escalation of the expense, so it's clear looking at the report that, I mean, the photos document that the buildings are not stabilized. You see 2x4s or whatever they are holding up the patio. And as he mentioned, the expense accelerates. So I guess what we have is an issue. We all agree it needs this stabilization process, but we need to present it in a way for funding. So we've also talked about the channel of where the income can come. We see a lot of income that could come from events on the property with the big crowds, and maybe somehow the city council could segregate the funds coming from these events into restoration. And then also we did talk about earlier in the year bringing in either a private sector for focus on how this could be renovated and bring in private funding or nonprofit funding. So we have a lot to discuss.
Chair Huff.
Yes.
Commissioner Hanestad, I thank you for your comments, because that's exactly kind of my position here is the goal for Proctor Lieber House or anything else continues to get further and further away as those reports become older and older. And what I took from what you said, which is what I think we're talking the same lines, except with only this exception. You're saying give us heads up notice on the budget, and I would say we've never gotten that enough. What we ought to do is imagine that the budget that we're talking about this year, next year, 3 years, 5 years, and we can start talking about what the priorities are now.
Right.
So that they already know. The folks that need to know when they start preparing a budget already know this is what the commission has been asking for 2 years, 3 years. So I think the discussion can happen, and basically once it's all written, they just have it in their file and they go, here's what they want to do this year, here's what they want to do next year.
So I don't want to, I hate to do this as a lawyer, but this is supposed to be about the Proctor Lieber House and where you would put that, kind of. So if we could steer the discussion a little bit towards a priority list. Do you want to create your own priority list? Do you want staff to come back with their priority list and where Proctor Lieber would be on it? If you could steer it towards that, that would include the Proctor Lieber House, I'd feel a lot better.
Commissioner Hanestad.
I'm just wondering, again, like my fellow commissioner, when do we have the chance to really discuss priorities for the property as a whole? Because in my year here, we have talked about individual crisis items. And each one is looked at in total isolation from everything else. I know that in a normal budgeting sequence, whether it's zero-based or whether it's priority-based or however you want to look at it, you have to have the whole wish list in front of you before you can begin to make reasonable choices. And if this is not the time to ask for it, then we need a future agenda item, and it needs to be worded properly in the agenda so that we actually have the ability to make motions, not necessarily even of priorities, but make motions to have something investigated further, make motions to have cost trade-off analysis between doing this or doing that, and what are the benefits of doing this versus the benefits of doing that. Otherwise, the commission really is not serving a purpose of guiding the council in trying to say where we feel the money should go in any given order.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, do we not get that from Lynn Ann? Or, again, I'm fairly new to this commission, but is that the task that Lynn Ann has to provide us with that information? Or, I mean, how does this work?
So if we make a specific ask, Lynn Ann is really our point person in terms of town staff compiling information and providing that to the commission. Because obviously the town is a public body, there's a whole public process in terms of the town budget. And there's a huge lead time that leads up to, and I'm totally not the person to be talking about this, but that leads up to that budgeting process and when recommendations can be made and ultimately when it's approved and ratified by the town. But yes, Ms. Dellerman
come from Lynn Ann, and then we act on those recommendations.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Tomei.
And again, I want to reiterate, and then I'm going to absolutely talk about Proctor Lieberhaus here for a second. But I want to point out, having those in our back pocket, having this commission's priorities in our back pocket when we get that information is better than getting that information about the budget and then trying to scramble and come up. And I'm telling you that as a former chairperson and as somebody that learned over 6 years, that's what we were doing. We were scrambling to try and play catch-up. Right, as opposed to now we're having this conversation. So, Ms. Dellerman, I will ask you, you want me to hyphenate your name and add that to it? It took me forever to stop calling you Lynn Ann every time.
You're fine.
So, this says from the 2014 conditions assessment report. I know you can as well. Would you like to tell the commission the lifespan of that condition assessment report based on what was written in the condition assessment report?
That as things were stabilized, just stabilized, not fully restored, that stabilization would last 2 years. And in conversations with Eric, and I do not have that in front of me, but we recognized that in the steam pump branch master plan, it said nothing is fully stabilized until it has been fully restored. So you have a 2 year stabilization, and even that is not full fledged unless it's fully restored.
To clarify, the condition assessment report, if you've read it, it says these are, and they make this very clear, these are temporary. So everything you saw in Proctor Lieberhaus, anything that changed from 2012 to 2018 was temporary for 2 years, 2 to 3 years. They thought in that assessment report that further rehabilitation would be done and restoration would be done sometime within those 2 to 3 years, that this temporary fix was there. So it's great. Again, I champion the way the place looks now. It looks better than it ever did. But and the last comment is, we'll use Proctor Lieberhaus as an example, but there's 13 structures on that site that are important to the National Historic Register. As each one of those deteriorates, the town loses it's a long ways away, but, you know, depending on a storm or something, as they lose those,
They lose their, they potentially lose their ability to stay on the National Historic Register. Those are contributing structures that have to be there and have to be rehabbed. Proctor Lieber House is one of those. And that needs to be done before we finish putting, you know, putting the icing on the cake on some of these other buildings.
Anyone else? Okay.
One more thing.
Commissioner Munden.
Yes, I just remind everyone that future agenda items is probably the most important part, and how we learn, and we're all learning to do that, and ask for discussion. And
thank you. Okay, what are
Chair
we?
Huff?
Yes, Commissioner Bowen.
I would like to add something, as not just as a commissioner, but as a citizen of the town and someone who follows the budget process pretty closely. I'm not recalling real missed opportunities for the Historic Preservation Commission in terms of available funding that was out there for us to grab, and we didn't grab it. As a matter of fact, I see amounts down to $50,000, $20,000 arm wrestled over in our budgetary meeting. So, Eric, I you know, Commissioner Tomei, I'd like to ask, you know, when you anecdotally mentioned something like opportunities at missing $100,000, did that predate the last couple of years? And can you enlighten us a little bit?
If I may, it's not so much missing the funding.
Yes.
It's where the funding has gone, right? What it has gone to. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at, and again, I understand the reasoning for it. I understand the motivation behind the folks that wanted fire suppression and a security system. I can tell you, fire protection is listed in the master plan, and I believe it's listed in the opening phase. So it is one of many things mm-hmm. that were listed in the opening phase. Security cameras weren't. And I understand that something occurred that made people want to do that. But all the while, Carlos's house has gotten neglected. Money that could have gone there, I just feel like the council didn't know because there hadn't been a prior discussion. So my comment wasn't on missed money. Or that we could have, I'd like to think, if we were a united front with a really good idea, we might get a council member or two's support on something. But it's more about, hey, when we get a little bit of money, it's sort of like the redheaded stepchild. I'm not saying they've treated us like that, but it's kind of like we're an afterthought. And if it's an afterthought here of what we're going to do with the money as of opposed to having a lot of forethought into it, we're going to be an afterthought when it's time to give the money out. And that's what I meant. It's not missed. I don't think we missed a dime that was actually allocated to Steam Pump Ranch or to cultural resources.
I would say not a dime, nor an opportunity to see a dime.
Right.
I would agree.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
There hasn't been any priority, and I think that the Proctor Lieber House is probably unique in that extent because there's so much work to be done there, and it's probably the least, inviting opportunity because you get the least bang for your buck with a small amount of money. So when I look at the Proctor Lieber House, I say, of course. You know, we haven't been able to turn around smaller projects where we could show an immediate benefit. And for me personally, with the Proctor Lieber House, I have no idea, and maybe I haven't been listening close enough, what it would take to make a meaningful difference in the Proctor Lieber House. Okay.
And just to reiterate, any numbers that we have are old.
Okay. So $5 million.
It's now speculation again. We would have to get somebody in, which also costs money. Getting people out to tell us how much money it's going to cost money. So, again, that's which goes back to exactly what I'm saying. I'd like to see Proctor Lieber House high on the list of priorities of what the commission wants to have done.
We've been asking for requests for information month after month.
What do you mean by requests for information?
For proposals for outside money.
Before I rejoined asking the town to put those out, or we've actually put those out?
Then they needed a new employee, and now they've got a new employee.
Right, there's a new person.
New procurement officer,
yep.
So that will be coming up on a future agenda.
So a bottlenecked a little bit.
Okay.
We can keep asking that, but we have no power.
Nope, understood. Trust me, I know that.
Okay, anybody else? So I think, are we on, is it six?
Yes, we're on Solomon.
We can.
Well, yes, we can.
Council Member Solomon, do you have any liaison comments?
Yes, let me see if I can do it without the attorney cutting me off. We are in the budget season right now. And as your one member noted, it's critical that requests get in at the right time in the budget process. And yes, the situation, as other commission members had mentioned, is every department and every need is competing for the limited pool of funds. The difficulty with something like Proctor Lieber, if I recall, and maybe there's updated, we're looking at a minimum of about $2 million or so. So we're looking at a large capital improvement, and it's, I don't see how it's ever going to come out of the normal budget process. It's going to have to be an issue that is really brought to the forefront, and it can't be a park and rec line item because it would take up way too much money. There's the private-public partnership approach. There'd be the bonding approach. But for the bonding, you need a revenue source, and there's no dedicated revenue source for Steam Pump Branch. Now, there is a potential, and that is there is a half-cent sales tax that is dedicated to the community center and golf. The expenses, the tax revenue has been increasing while the expenses have been decreasing. So there's always the possibility of, and this would be completely up to council, be to say, do you take a portion of that half cents tax revenue and reallocate it to a different park and rec amenity, which is Steam Pump, and enough to bond for the $2 million or $5 million over the, say, 20 years, particularly when interest rates are at historic, all-time historic lows. And as pointed out, construction inflation is getting to all-time historic highs. So bonding becomes a tool where for 2% to 3%, you can borrow the money and do a project today as opposed to 5 years from now at a 7 to 10% construction inflation rate, which means instead of, say, just for example, instead of $1 million, it'd be $1.5 million in 5 years, and plus those 5 years you've had increased maintenance costs, perhaps more deterioration. But it's a situation where it needs to be approached in the whole. The current council decided they did not want to do any bonding for golf and community center. It has to be, quote, pay as you go. And even though we're running surpluses in the Golf and Community Center Fund, and it's projected to end this year at about $1.25 million, just the irrigation repairs on the golf course are about $3 million, and the needed renovation of the community center is about another $3.5 million. Now, those could easily be bonded for and done today using just a small part of the half-cents revenue, tax revenue, which would then leave portions of that revenue available for, once again, it seems like a rational step to say, well, this is still in the Parks and Rec family. So would it make sense if there's an excess once it's bonded for the primary community center and golf course, do we look at other Parks and Rec projects? Because I don't see a time when $5 million is going to come out of the budget. That's such a large chunk. It would have to be something planned over the years where it was said, okay, and $100K a year isn't going to do it. Even $500K may not do it. I suppose maybe over 10 years, but then again, it's the cost increases. But that's something that it would seem the commission should really look at and take a stand on and make it known to the council that this has got to be a priority. We know it's a large investment, but we assume that responsibility when we accepted Steam Pump Ranch, and it's never going to get done through a normal budget process of a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there. And, I mean, Nope. Am I a council guy?
Just remember, these are the comments of one council member. They do not reflect the attitude for all the council.
In the budget process, when
thank
requests
you.
Like this would be made, but I think you really do need the specifics as mentioned, as opposed to saying, well, approximately. So that's probably a future agenda item.
Thank you. Yes. Just remember, one council member, not a reflection of the entire
right.
council.
That is not that. I'm just commenting as
thank you, Councilman.
Potential alternatives.
Thank you very much. All right. Agenda item 6.
That would just be seeing last month's PowerPoint, going through it quickly and opening it up for discussion. I would assume, and I'll let Chair ask you all, but I would assume that this discussion has encompassed the full ranch and doesn't need
to. Do people agree with that?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
We will move. I don't mean to stifle, so if anyone says it. But item 7 would be select a date for a future study session regarding discussion on the HPC rules and regulations.
So just to explain this one of the future agenda items that y'all asked for was to really understand your code, the rules, the regulations, you know, why things have happened the way they've happened in the past, and, you know, where we're going to move from as a united body, not being negative in the future. And as a result, one of the recommendations, and actually it was former Mayor Loomis that suggested it, and legal backed that up, that we should do a study session. So the dates that were open for that study session in calendar-wise for this building are March 31st and April 2nd. Is that correct? March 31st and April 2nd, same time frame as this is currently, so 5 p.m., and it would take place here. That is the same week. We'd be able to get through it all, we assume, in that one week, and it would be prior to our next meeting, which I think would help us be very united and moving forward as a positive body at that point. So,
Commissioner Tomei.
Can you clarify? You said two dates, and then you said that week. It's a week-long session?
No, those two dates fall in one week.
That's okay. So two dates.
Either date.
Yeah.
It's both dates.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that correct?
Depends on how in-depth you want me to go.
Yeah, so what I would suppose, because I was given two dates, what I would suppose is that if we get it all done with one, then we don't have to do the second, but that we reserve it, the room for both dates just in case.
5 p.m. here?
Yeah, 5 p.m. here.
And then are we suspecting just a couple hours at each session?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully I can get it done in the first session.
I won't interrupt. That may not be true.
Okay, so those are the dates. Number 8, local registry report.
Do we want to move to have it?
I would like somebody to move that at least we have March 31st.
I move that we
adopt.
Have a study session on March 31st and April 2nd.
All second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposition? Okay, it passes. Thank you. Number 8.
Okay, the local registry report, I am now working with our grant professional from our office. She is also a professional planner, and so she has some of that background necessary to help me with the local registry. And so we have made May of 2020, so this coming May, as a goal to have you all maybe set a hearing. This is she and I, so we'll see what happens next month, and we can set it if things have moved forward correctly. But to have the first hearing of maybe one or two of the homes that have shown interest to be on the local registry, and then we'll buy the plaque, and that is the perk for
incentive.
There we go. Thank you very much, Gail. The incentive that was agreed upon in one of the earlier commissions as a thank you for being willing to be on our local registry. And then I have also spoken to Joan Milner. She's from Suffolk Hills HOA, and she has requested that I and potentially an HPC member, if they would like, go to the annual HOA meeting that takes place on March 21st, which I'll also talk about in just a minute, something else that happens on March 21st, at noon. This is to explain or to be on hand what the criteria is for the local registry so that those in attendance don't maybe move forward with changes to their homes and stuff without that knowledge. They also have someone that will be on hand that has lots of the old original photographs from the newspaper of the homes up there. And so kind of a neat HOA meeting. So if anybody would like to attend that with me, reserve that till after my department report so I can tell you what else is happening on the 21st. But I am going to make the effort to do both things because I feel like that's very important. So that's the end of my report.
Okay, and then we have the department report.
Okay. As noted above, we have on the 6th Friday concert at Steam Pump Ranch, and it's Connie Band Brancock and the Tiny House of Funk. But we also have a trip to the Tucson Museum of Art that day. It leaves at 10 a.m. and returns at 3 p.m. And then, as I mentioned earlier, that Celebrate Oro Valley is getting closer. And last year we had Susan, if you all remember, was the member of our commission who passed away. She manned our table and she was willing to stay there. So one of the things about Celebrate Oro Valley is we have any commissions that are interested, but all the departments that are interested at a table talking to the citizens about the town, about what they do or what the commission is or whatever they're there to represent. And so definitely need some volunteers, would prefer two, one to begin about 8:45 just before it starts and go for a couple hours and then someone else to come in and be willing to stay until about 2 when it ends. So, you know, switching around noon or 11:30. And then we have received 26 that's the April 11th. That's our Celebrate Oro Valley. And if you are willing, if you'd please see me afterwards, because I don't have it agendized for you to talk about it, but we will, I would like to hear if you are willing. Yeah, she does have a booth already. So, and we have received 26 essays. And again, I'll need you to come afterwards and let me know if you're willing to be one of the two judges. I need two people to judge those essays. I will print them out and get them to you either via scan or you can pick them up on hard copy if that's how you prefer to read those essays. And then just to tell you about March 21st, so the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, and I have mentioned this, is they do an annual, every once in a while they miss it, but most of the time they do an annual homes tour. This year they're actually touring ranches to the north of Oro Valley. So they're going up into the town of Oracle and historic ranches. They're going to start at Steam Pump Ranch. So it's going to be a pretty cool thing. About 1,200 obvious historic enthusiasts will be coming to the ranch. The tours start at different times throughout the day, so there will be groups at a time until that 1,200 number has been reached, and then they'll return because they likely will be carpooling and different things, but they'll return to the ranch. So they assume it will be 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. before it's all completed. Again, that's the same day as the Suffolk Hills HOA. Damien Klinko, which some of you have heard me say his name before, this is his organization, and it's very cool. So if you're at all interested, I highly suggest that you be there, at least for some part of it, and meet Damien, and he's a good person to to help us understand where possible funds may come from for the ranch, as that's one of his big things that he's gotten is funding for other historic neighborhoods and buildings and stuff throughout Tucson. Speaking of funding, we, meaning the town of Oro Valley, did meet with Pima County this past week and discussed with them doing some co-work to request funds from national grants and other funding that may be out there that need something bigger than just our ranch or just Canoa Ranch. So in other words, talking about regional ranches through you know, the early settlements of the Tucson region and so on and so forth. So so hopefully that will answer some of the problems that we have with funding, but just wanted to let you know about that. And then we are still waiting on repairs to the push house. DeRozzo was asked to turn his paperwork by this new procurement officer in a certain way, and he has not done that yet. So I am going to seek someone else if he doesn't do that soon. And then much of the repair from the damage from the storm in November has been taken care of, as long as it was things that town staff could do. We have been seeking some agencies for some of the bigger projects. So.
Chair Huff.
Yes. If this is allowed, Lynn Ann, through the department report, the wine event that happened out there, that can you tell us the involvement that's going through Parks and Rec? They're getting a fee. And more importantly, can you give us any indication? Is there anybody keeping track of how many people were there? It seemed to be an amazing event.
Yeah, they purchased 2,000 glasses and did sell out of those 2,000 glasses. And that probably should have been in my department report because it was very successful. Second year in a row, they kind of cap out at 2,000. And so we are talking about a bigger footprint. That is a reservation of the ranch. And those funds do go back into the general fund for the care and maintenance of all town facilities, including the ranch. So that's an operations and maintenance budget item, you know, that helps take care of.
Are we allowed to know what that reservation cost for them?
Well, I can tell you that it only costs $750 to reserve the ranch, and then they pay for staff assistance and electricity and other things like that on top of that. So, they paid about $1,800 when it was all said and done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn Ann. Future agenda items. Commissioner Bowen.
I have a suggestion, but I think I have to ask staff a question first. What is our working estimate as of today for completion of the Proctor Lieber House? Do we have an active working estimate for completion?
Are you talking about a timeline or a financial estimate?
A financial estimate of knowing what we know today, the condition of the house today. What would it take to complete the Proctor Lieber House?
I can do some research and get back to you on that. So I certainly will add that to my to-do list. We do have the organization that put together the original financial plan for Steam Pump Ranch. They do escalate those every so often for us and let us know what in current dollars that would take.
I think so, that would be invaluable for us to know what are we really, you know, what have we not been seeking funding for? What is the amount we're talking about? Because I think we could be off by a significant amount given the amount of time that's expired since we did the last estimate. So I'm hesitant because I have given so much work to the staff in the past, but I think for the purpose of this commission, that's well worth the effort. And it would be something not just for this commission, but perhaps the next commission after us. It seems like it would be about time that we had an updated estimate for that house.
And thank you. In addition to that, thank you, Commissioner Bowen.
Lynanne, I do know that Christy has, and you probably are much more familiar than I am, but at least if you could just touch base with her before that agenda item is heard, because I know that she has numbers that have been, she's accounted for inflation and they're there.
Yeah, I just don't have it memorized, and I do not have that documentation in front of me. But there was a report given to council recently where some of those numbers were covered. But again, I'll make sure that I'm able to give you an update.
Do you recall the date of the meeting such that if we were interested, we could listen in or watch it?
2 months ago?
In which those were presented?
February 20th.
1st or whatever, what was the date?
January 20th.
January 20th?
So, yeah, if you glance through the agenda items.
It was an agenda item.
Yeah, it was agenda item, yeah.
It's really.
Any other items? We'll start at the end.
Mr. Chair,
it was the 22nd.
If appropriate and available, any reports on our pursuit, if we have a financial partnerships with anybody? And I'm referring back to the presentation that was given to us.
Mr. Adams.
Yes, yes. Any updates on that, if available?
Okay. And I know that we have had that. It's out there.
Yeah, that is an item in future agenda items already, and really was just waiting to get some reports back myself so I could update you all.
Commissioner,
go this way.
Yes.
I just want to reiterate what I believe, or actually more or less clarify. I would like to have a discussion in writing on the agenda where it says discussion on the priorities of Steam Pump Ranch. And if I'm going to go a step further and say to include a discussion about the master plan, the easement, and the National Historic Register application, which explained what had to be done for it to be preserved.
So National Registry, easement, National Registry application, and
master plan.
And the master plan.
So just to clarify for myself, I know that staff gave our priorities in January. And so this is a discussion for commission's priorities.
You'll have to let me know what you mean by staff gave your priorities, because I didn't know that staff came up with their own priorities for Steam Pump Ranch without either the commission or the council.
Wait.
We were asked.
They were asked. They gave recommendations.
We gave recommendations.
They're just calling them different things. Based on the past commission. Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Of course.
So they
of
were
course. No, this is for future, again, 1 year, 3 year, 5 years out.
And Commissioner Tomei, I think what you're asking is when you say priorities, you're talking about what this body adopts.
Absolutely.
In terms of making priorities.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
Clear. Commissioner Hanasad, Commissioner Bowen, Commissioner Munden.
Yes, I'd like to ask for an update on the 100,000 capital improvements projects construction schedule.
Any questions on that, Lynanne?
I'm assuming that you're referring to the sprinkler system, the fire
security.
Protection, and the security. Yes.
Anything else, Commissioner Munden?
No, that's all.
Commissioner Beal?
No items.
Okay. Okay, if there's nothing else, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
A second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. No opposition. It passes. Thank you, guys.